Lord, I pray that that would be the desire of our hearts, to see people connected with you, to see people find that hope. When we speak of the gospel, we talk of the good news, that there is a God who created us, who wants to fix the problem in the relationship between him and us and the problem that we have in making life work. And I pray that you'd help each of us connect with that tonight in a little greater way than we did before we got here. We leave this in your hands. Amen. You may be seated. Send the troops, send the saints to go tell the word of Jesus Christ and the good that he has waiting for us in a restored relationship with him. Well, to do that, to send the saints, to send the troops, we kind of have to do almost a tag team thing where, you know, one group of people in one generation tells people about God and shares the news, and then they tag the next group, and there's an overlap where there's a mentoring that takes place and an apprenticeship that has to happen so that we're continuing to teach generation after generation and the troops are continuing to be sent out. We started a new series last week where we're going to be looking at 2 Kings. We looked a little bit at the end of 1 Kings last week where we found a prophet named Elijah and that he was told by God to go and anoint Elisha, his apprentice, and to teach him, to mentor him, to get him ready to be the next prophet for God. And that's what we're studying last week, and then this week too. We're still kind of looking at this mentoring and this apprenticing that takes place. And we think that's an important thing to be taught inside the church because it's needed. Well, I would like you to meet a couple that is doing some mentoring, but I'm not sure. You can let me know if their church has taught them well on how to actually do this mentoring and this apprenticeship. I assure you, you will never be mentored by those two at Westbridge Community Church. You may run into them at drama, but that's the closest you will come to being mentored by them. But as we see, mentoring can be a tricky thing. The whole idea of someone with training and experience and biblical knowledge and expertise handing all that down to an up-and-coming person, well, it's a lot easier said than done. As I said before, last time we met, we looked at the choosing of the man who would succeed the great prophet Elijah. A man named Elisha was chosen, and he wholeheartedly accepted the offer. Elisha would travel with Elijah and be mentored by Elijah. As we'll see tonight, this mentoring takes effort. Effort by both parties involved. The mentor has a difficult task to accomplish, and the apprentice has a long punch list to get through before he is ready to lead. Now, we are not given a ton of information about the mentoring Elijah did for Elisha, but we are able to gain good insight into their years together. We know that after Elisha joined Elijah in 1 Kings 19, we know that Elijah then deals with the horrible King Ahab, and he deals with Ahab's pilfering of Naboth's garden in 1 Kings 21. Now we can assume Elisha was there to see these things, though he's not mentioned. Now, Bible scholars have argued over the length of time that Elisha was trained under Elijah. They all agree on one point. The smallest amount of time they would have spent together would have been 6 years traveling together. Others in this say it could be as long as 20 years that they were together. But most theologians put the apprenticeship anywhere from 6 to 10 years of them being together, walking together, living together, being together every moment of the day. Whatever the case, we see this as the first ingredient in mentorship. Point one of mentoring is to do life together long term. Now, this requirement for mentoring and apprenticing is why it is such a difficult thing to do. By doing life together long term, that is exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. He took them and they headed out together. Remember, this is not just apprenticeship and mentoring when it comes to learning a craft. It wasn't teaching them how to make a gun. It wasn't teaching them how to do carpentry. This mentoring was teaching someone how to live one's life for God and how to serve God. You will get to know someone very well and see how they act and how they respond when you spend all four seasons with them. And then do it over again, over a period of years. You see, gang, true character comes out over time. It cannot be faked, and you will see all the good as well. When you spend time with people long term, you see who they really are. You see the good they really live out. You cannot fake character. Real character and honest actions are seen as you walk with the person long term. You see how people address and work on their bad traits that are in their life. You see how they deal with falling down. You see how real life is handled and it's lived out in a live, honest, no romantic, false reality. Spending time long term is the key to mentorship. Now, also, kind of a sub point I want to add here. I don't think I have this on your outline, so I want you to squeeze it in there. I want you to write the word under there, dialogue. Dialogue. Psychologists have easily proven that the best learning is interactive. Not only must a learner see and hear, but they have to have an opportunity to inquire and to be heard. By far, the most prevalent mentoring we see is parents to children. Children hear what their parents say, and they see what they do. But to be an effective mentoring relationship, it has to include dialogue, and especially the learner being able to ask questions about what they're receiving. Ted Tripp, in his book Shepherding a Child's Heart, says that mentoring must be done in two-way dialogue between the mentor and the apprentice. Not only must the learner have an open avenue to clarify and confirm what they're hearing, it is vital that the student's heart and questioning be welcomed and understood by the mentor. When we do life together long term, this observing and inquiring is natural. The disciples had that with Jesus. They could talk with him and ask him questions and get confirmation on what they were hearing and seeing and thinking and believing. Elisha would have had this with Elijah over their 6+ years together. And we have to have that kind of relationship and that kind of dialogue and that kind of long-term doing life together with who we are called to guide. Mom, why would you say this outfit is inappropriate? That's dialogue coming at us that we need to be able to answer and welcome. Dad, what do I do when I'm bullied? Mom, how is it that I'm being disrespectful? Dad, what do you mean when you say that that was crass? Mom, what does God want me to do in this particular situation? And Dad, will God really grant me the desires of my heart? You see, doing life long term is how mentoring takes place. Quality time, gang, is less effective than quantity time. I'll say that again. Quality time is less effective than quantity time. Now, gang, if you do not, let's just say you do not have access to mentoring parents. I hear that. I get it. Don't give up hope. There are good mentors willing to do life long term with you if you look around and find it. It's what happened here with Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, after Elijah is taken, it says here, Elisha saw it, and he cried out to Elijah, My Father, you are like a father to me. You know, my buddy, he tells the story about how he grew up and he did not have mentoring parents. He did not. So he spent every waking hour that he could at his friend's house. Now, his friend's parents were followers of Jesus Christ. And my buddy went over there and drank in all he could from them. He helped them rake their leaves. He drank iced tea on their front porch. He drove around with them on errands. He slept over when he could. And the whole time, he learned. He grew. He asked. He developed proper filters in his life. Filters like it talks about in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. My friend watched this family year after year and had dialogue with them. When he had questions, he went to them. And he learned it is not acceptable to grow up being a brat. He learned how to act in someone's home. He learned it's not acceptable to talk disrespectful to your parents. He learned how to wait for things and be patient. He learned how to be kind. He learned self-control. He learned what wisdom is and that it comes from God and that life following God means doing all of the things God says, not just knowing and talking about them. It wasn't a perfect mentorship, but it was enough for a young man who didn't have that at home. Those surrogate parents mentored my friend, and he has gone on to become an outstanding father, mentoring his children now. And he is a role model. I have seen it. He is a role model that young boys look up to, whoever he comes in contact with. Now, a final word on this mentoring, being doing life together. I just want to mention a couple quick points. For the apprentice, you are what you hang around with. I know we've said that a lot around here, but I just wanted to throw it in case you missed it. You are what you hang around with, okay? I'm going to let you expound on that when you leave tonight. Number two, for the mentor, you will raise up what you are, not what you wish you were, okay? You will raise up what you are, not your best case scenario wish of what you wish you were. So, with that said, if you want to know what's mentoring you or who you are mentoring, simply ask yourself this question. Where or who are you spending the greatest amount of your time with? Let's move on. The second clue to mentoring, the second clue of this mentoring of Elisha is found in 2 Kings 3:11. Here's what it said, and it's kind of short, but if you don't miss it, you'd pick up a great deal. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered him and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." This is an interesting statement about Elisha. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. This is believed to be a reference to Elisha washing Elijah's hands while Elijah was eating. Part of Elisha's training would have included doing all kinds of menial work to teach patience and humility. And when Elijah, the older prophet, was eating, remember in the East, they ate with their fingers. That's how they ate back then. Elisha would be next to him, constantly pouring water on his hands and his fingers so he could be clean. This was a very lowly task. But Elijah, being a great prophet, would have taught Elisha on all the things from the smallest to the greatest. Elisha, on the other hand, shows us the next point in mentoring, and that is this, or should we say the next point in learning. Embrace the learning adventure. Now, gang, I am going to come clean. I am not very good at too many things. I'm not that good at too many things. But one of the things that I've discovered about myself that I am good at, I'm a pretty good student. I like learning. I embrace information, and I like going to conferences. I actually like to read reference books. In fact, my favorite part last year when we had our men's conference, we ran a big men's conference here for us. My favorite part of that men's conference was not speaking. My favorite part of that conference was learning from Pastor Tim Hoff and Dr. Rob Kruver. You see, a good apprentice embraces the learning process, serving the mentor, pouring water on his hands, being with him or her, growing in knowledge, growing in wisdom, and growing in obedience. You see, gang, too many times we want to jump past the training and get right to the leading. And believe me, when that day comes, when they tell you, okay, you're in charge of it, most people are going to say, oh no, I don't feel quite ready. I wish I could go back and get a bit more training. Well, John Maxwell really says it best. He says this, success is the journey, not the destination you get to. You know, we all want to get to our goals. We all want to finish our course. So we all want to cross the finish line. But what Dr. Maxwell says is that life is to be had in the journey to the destination. Life is the adventure that gets us to a destination. But that traveling is success. Now, I don't know. Maybe this will help make it easier for you. I don't know if many of you are Lord of the Rings fans. I happen to like Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings is pretty good. Last one was a little slow. Hold number two in new series. But that's okay. We're committed now. We got to go to the third one. But interesting thing about the first three Lord of the Rings, it's a journey where, you know, these little guys become friends. They have a fellowship of the rings, about seven of them. They become friends. And then for three movies, or well over 8 hours, they travel this amazingly long journey to get rid of this evil ring. And a lot happens over that time. You know, anything that could possibly happen in this journey, in this adventure, happens to them. And you watch the whole thing take place, and you watch them struggle, and you watch this turmoil, and they get to the end. And then at the end of number three, they finish. They get the task done, but they don't end the movie. They let the movie run a little bit longer, and it shows you what life is like after it's all over. And it ain't that good. It's peaceful and everything, but it's boring. It's boring. The destination that they got to, it's great and everything, but the life that they were living, the whole success of the whole thing was the journey that they got, that got them there. And that is what we're learning here in mentorship and apprenticeship. It's the growing. That time that is important and must be embraced, not just wishing it was over and that we've reached a finish line. What a good apprentice does is they embrace the adventure that they are in. They embrace it as just important as the goal. When you're studying at college, embrace the college adventure. I know your goal is to get finished until you can get a good job, but guess what? Life can be had right there in the learning adventure. You see, God doesn't just have a job waiting for you to get to someday when you are a mature believer and a well-rounded individual. God has a job waiting for you right now, right where you are at in your learning time, in your apprenticeship, in your growing. So embrace the learning adventure. My guess is if you're anything like me, one day you will look back on it when you've achieved your next level and wish you could go back to that time for just a little visit. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The time came for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha set out from Gilgal. On the way, Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to Bethel." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you, I will not leave you." So they went to Bethel. Now a group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha answered, "but let's not talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to Jericho." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So they went on to Jericho. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha answered, "but let's not talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to the Jordan River." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you, I will not leave you." So they went on. And 50 of the prophets who followed them on to Jordan. Elijah and Elisha stopped by the river, and the 50 prophets stood a short distance away. Then Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided, and he and Elisha crossed to the other side on dry ground. Now, I don't know. Well, let me say this. I know everyone likes to be encouraged, but I also know that we all get discouraged. In fact, we have made encouragement one of our core values here on the church. One of the core values we rest on is to be encouraging. But no matter how much encouragement we receive, it will never eliminate the discouragement that comes our way. In the passage we just read, Elisha is hearing some pretty disheartening stuff. Twice, Elisha is approached by prophets throwing the sad news in his face that God is taking his mentor Elijah away that day. Three times, that mentor tells Elisha to leave him. Now, we could read right past that pretty quickly and not think much of it, but that had to be pretty hard stuff for Elisha to hear. Remember, Elijah is like a father to him. All Elisha knows is that Elijah will probably be dying that day. And then, while dealing with that, Elijah doesn't want Elisha to stay with him. In fact, he orders him away. My guess, if he was anything like me, he would probably be hearing every single sad Barry Manilow song right about then. "Last night we waved goodbye," or "And you sent me away, oh Elijah." No, a little different. I know the words. We've all been there, right? We've all been there. But the key is that Elisha shows us something very cool. It's our point three tonight. Don't get derailed by discouragement. I have about six more Manilow songs in me right about now, Kev. I could just go. instead of taking the punch in the gut and going down, Elisha shows us tremendous resolve and steadfastness. Gang, we can learn from this. We too will get punched in the gut by discouragement. We too are on a train that is going towards a destination station that God has for us. And there are discouragements that will try to derail you from what God has for you. This time last year, 1 year ago, I was at the firehouse and we received word that the captain's test was coming out. It was all online. Applications were out. You had 2 weeks to get your application in for the captain's test. And I am a lieutenant, so the next position for me to move up to is captain. So I downloaded the application. I sent in my application fee. I helped some other guys do the same thing. The process began. And I guess the first thing that came about was I had to start studying. I had to start studying for a written test that was going to take place, so you have to start spending some money. You've got to get books. You've got to get DVDs. You've got to get CDs. You've got to get things to learn so that you will be up and ready for this written test. And in June, we took the written test. I drove down the shore, had to take it down in Ocean County, took the written test. I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't feel real good about it, but you wait. And while you're waiting, you got to get ready for the next part of the test, which is an oral test. They're going to ask you questions, 3 fire scenarios, and you have to talk through them in a 10-minute recorded interview, 10 for each scenario. So you got to start studying for that. And you're studying. Guys are paying big money to go to schools to learn these things. I kind of did it on my own. I did everything I could to start to get ready for this oral, hoping I was going to pass the written. Received word I did pass the written, went on to the oral, which was going to take place in the end of October. Went down to Trenton with these men. All the whole state goes at the same time, but I was with my group of men that I'd be taking my tests and be in competition with for these captain's jobs. And took the oral test and really, really, really felt like I did poor. I'm not lying, I didn't do too good. I was sure that in my scenario, a few people didn't make it, which isn't good. So I said, well, I gave it all I had, and you know, that's just the way it goes. And Lord, whatever, it's in your hands, you know, didn't do too well anyway. It's in your hands, Lord, so it'll be good. Well, guess what? By the time December 31st rolled around, we had a lot of retirements. 5 captains retired December 31st, just a little over a month ago. Here's 5 openings for captains. I said, wow, pretty cool, pretty cool. Well, you just wait. You wait for the results to come out. And then last week or so, maybe 10 days ago, my friends called me up and says, the results are out. They just came out online. Lieutenant Kleinbell, you came out number 5. Looking good, right? Looking good. Go to work and find out that the city wants to do something different. They are going to create a new manpower list, a new table of organization, and they are going to eliminate 5 to 8 captains' jobs right now. Discouragement, right? I'm on a train. I'm going somewhere. Am I going to let it derail me? I could get down. I could get depressed. I could get angry. I could get jaded. I could get derailed from the life of joy and the life of blessing that God has given me. So what should I do? Well, I believe I should follow the example of Elisha. Elisha, do you know the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Yes, I know. But let's not talk about it. Elisha was not sticking his head in the sand. He said, yes, I know. But I'm not going to dwell on it. And let's make that our first action point here under point 3. Don't dwell on it. Gang, if God has placed something in your power that you are supposed to do, then you need to do that. But But if there's nothing that you can do, then you got to let it go. Put it in God's hands. Don't dwell on it. Don't pine away for what you wish you could have had. Don't spend time feeling sorry for yourself. Don't get agita and all of a sudden let it eat you up inside and that birth anger inside of you. Do not let it derail you by dwelling on it. Do not let it derail you from the course God has you on. Next, Elisha said, I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you, Elijah, I will not leave you. So they went on to Bethel. Here, Elisha says, I know what I'm supposed to do right now, right here, and I'm going to keep on doing it. No diversion, no deviation. I am not leaving you, Elijah. I am not, because I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to keep doing it. And gang, we cannot let discouragement derail us. The second action step in this, B, is this. Keep chugging towards your station. Keep chugging towards the station. For me, that means going to work. Going to work this Tuesday and running firehouse number 2 as Lieutenant Kleinbell. It means Monday morning getting in my office and starting to write my next sermon. I have a rail that God has put me on, and I must and should and will keep chugging towards my station. I was thinking about this as I was walking the halls before the service started. And I thought, you know what? People are going to watch this video. A year from now, someone's going to go on our website and they're going to watch this video. Or they're going to listen to this message on the audio. And they're going to say, I wonder what happened. I wonder if he got that job. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you out there. You come here. And you meet me. And my prayer is that the way I act and my actions, whether I get that job or not, make you think I got it. That's how I want to live. And I will not let discouragement derail me from the job that God has for me. If the captain thing happens, praise the Lord. If it doesn't happen, I will praise him just the same. And I promise you that. Don't let discouragement force you from the rail that God has you on right now. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, gang, you and I are apprenticing under Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we are mentoring those who God entrusts to us. Elisha gives us great help on how to mentor and how to apprentice well. Do life long term together as mentors and apprentices. There are no shortcuts. You cannot do it quickly. In that time, develop the proper filters you need to have that God wants us to have, as we read about in Philippians 4:8. Develop proper filters, like my friend did at his neighbor's house. Remember, apprentices, who you hang out with is who you're going to become. And for the mentors, you will raise up what you are, not what you wish you were. So start being what you want to turn out. Embrace the learning adventure, gang. Don't wish for another time. Don't wish life away. It's so hard this winter for me. I feel like I'm wishing for March all the time. And I was like, I said to Kelly, I really don't like that. I don't want to wish my life away. I don't want to wish February away. Just the cold weather. But number 3, don't get derailed by discouragement. Don't get derailed by that. You're going to get discouraged. But don't let it derail you. Don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on it. Do what you can do in the situation, but then that's it. Live it in God's hands. He's the one who works the whole thing out. He's the one who designs the whole thing. You trusted him with your life. Let him run your life. And keep chugging towards the station. What is he asking you to do tonight? Maybe pray for the first time. Maybe read your Bible for the first time. Maybe speak to that person you've been needing to speak to. Keep chugging towards the station. Keep growing. Keep becoming what he's called us to be. I'm going to ask the band to come back and give you time to speak to God. Maybe you're going through a time of discouragement. It's like, yeah, I know it's tough. Maybe they told you, yeah, your position's being cut too. Well, guess what? I got God on my side. So I'm not too worried about it, no matter how it turns out. I know this. God never uses the word, oops. Oops. I missed that one, Drew. See, he got me on that. Never. He got it all under control. He's giving us what we're supposed to have. He's giving it to us when we're supposed to have it. Be thankful for what you've got. Chug towards your station. Let's talk to God together. Would you stand with me? We covered a lot of territory tonight. Well, Lieutenant Kleinbell has to be at the firehouse next Saturday night, so I got something special for you, and I want to let you know what's going on. I chose a video that I watched this week that blew me away, and I want you to see it next week. We got a big crowd in here tonight. That's great. Don't miss next week. I am nowhere near as effective at communicating as the person you will hear from next week, one of my favorites, Dr. Henry Cloud. And I want to tell you what he's going to be talking about. He, you'll see at the very beginning of the video, what's the title of this message? Because they really didn't have a good title of it. So I titled it for him. So I want to tell you what you're going to be hearing next week and you don't want to miss. And it is this: understanding and dealing with every problem I could ever possibly have. He delivers on that, and you will be shocked, and you will be very happy you are here for that for next week. So please do not miss next week, and bring a friend, because it's incredible. Jeremy already has it ripped to the computer, so I know it's going to happen. And although we did lose our sound system tonight, which I can't imagine why, we've only frozen our amplifiers for 12 years in the trailer, and that's it, and put them through excruciating heat in the summer. But they're holding together, so please do not miss. And take what you've learned tonight and apply it. Do not just leave it in your head and say, yeah, that was some good stuff right there. No, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Pray with me. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, and I thank you that we could look at the story of Elijah and Elisha and see what it is that we are to be like as learners and what it is we are to be like as mentors. Lord, give us the power through your Holy Spirit to do that, because we can't. We just don't have it in us. But you said, when we are weak, you are strong. Your Spirit will give us the power we need to do all you've called us to. And now, Lord, help us to be strong through the weak days. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen.